Welcome to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
I had three sermons prepared, and I always get it. See, a lot of people think, how do you preach every week? Well, I have so much to preach, I don't know what to choose from a lot of times. And trying to discern what the Lord wants me to say or do is harder than trying to come up with something. At this stage of my life, I have so much that I could teach, you know, literally forever, it seems like. That's why I'm looking forward to the millennium. Millennium is going to be a fun time. The Lord will let me continue teaching because I have so much to share and to do. And so this morning, as of early this morning, I had three sermons prepared for this morning. And trying to decide which one to do. One of them was called "It's Not Luck, It's God." One was on dreams and about how Joseph did about it. He helped someone else with their dream, and by doing that, his own dream was fulfilled. But the third one is the one that I felt the Lord told me to do about 30 minutes ago. So we're going to go with number three. And I'm not going to tell you the name of it yet because it's going to lead into it, and we'll go from there. Bow your heads and let's pray. Father, this morning we just ask you to help us, to encourage us, to excite us, Lord, not just with earthly excitement, with the zeal of the Lord, and let it consume us. Let the zeal of God be our strength. How we love you, Father, how we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Turn around, somebody say, I don't know what the name of the sermon is, but I'm looking forward to it. Would you say it, somebody? This morning, I'm not going to teach as much as I'm going to preach. I'm ringing a little bit, you hear me? I'm not going to teach as much as preach this morning. And I had a couple teachings, and I felt the Lord direct me to this one. And Friday night, we had a leadership meeting. And in the leadership meeting, we were talking and sharing. And one of the questions, we asked a number of questions about our church. We kind of had some fun time together. One of the questions was, how many pear trees are lined down the side of the building here? How many's enjoyed the pear trees? You enjoyed the beautiful pear? Aren't they gorgeous? And I think there's 47 of them. Is that how many were there? 45 of them. And we asked a number, what year that we started the school, what year did the church move over here, where was the church first started, and what place, and then where was our first building over on Wooddale Boulevard, and what time did we move, what year did we move over here, and on and on and on. A lot of fun. But one of the questions was, what was the name of last week's sermon? How many know what the name of last week's sermon was? Well, a few of you, because my brother was here, so it's an easier deal. But most of you by lunchtime have forgotten the name of the sermon. Is that right? Most of you by the time we get to lunch, you don't remember the name of the sermon. And so he'll be playing with this mic a little while, so if you can endure it. I'm going to start talking to you this morning. I want to preach to you a little bit about, I'm not going to tell you the name of it yet. I'll tell you that in just a minute. One of the things that we're dealing with right now is a lot of change in society. They're voting on, I don't know if they voted on, they voted on the health care bill yet or not? Have they deemed it passed yet or not? We're wondering what's happening to it, but one of the things is there's always changes, and that's just one of the major changes that we see because it's so evident. But society that you and I live in is constantly changing. Nothing ever really stays the same. I don't know what after a while I gave up on trying to know what the fashions were. I don't know what the new fashion is. Sometimes ties were fat, ties were little. Ties were, you know, long, no ties, some ties. What kind of suits? When I go to look at a suit, you know, do you want double-breasted? Do you want this? You know, all this. You know, guys, we don't change as much as ladies do. Is that right? Come on, all the guys, help me. Most of us, we keep the same. There we go. We keep the same billfold forever. And fashions change. Some people hold on to the old a long time. But we like to hold on to billfolds. Most of us hold on to billfolds until they about fall apart. And then our lifestyles in the last 80 years have changed so rapidly, it's hard to keep up with it. It wasn't many years ago that a couple of brothers named the Wright brothers invented something called an aeroplane. And now, though, we travel to the far distance of the universe. How many remember your first TV set? How many remember your first TV? You remember that? How many remember they had a TV set in town? You didn't have a TV set. They had one in town. How many of you ever went to the wind picture window and watched TV at night? You know, they leave them on at night. And a lot of times you go down there, you watch it on the sidewalk. There's a lot of us used to gather around, watch it on the sidewalk. And lots of things. We're constantly changing, getting older. Sometimes you'll see a movie star that you remember, and next thing you know, you look at them. I remember I went to my high school a while back, and said a number of my classmates had become teachers at the school. And I remember walking down there, and I was going to go ask one of the ladies where so-and-so's class was, because she was in my roommate, and this was an older-looking lady. She was a grandmother. And I asked her where so-and-so's class was, and that was her. Come on, somebody. She got old, but I didn't get old, and so all the rest of it. Things are constantly changing. And you know what? In our society, we are constantly seeking something that has stability, something that's stable, something that we can latch on to that will not change. Advertisements today try to portray their company as steadfast, unchangeable. When I grew up, there was an insurance company that always called, always had the Rock of Gibraltar. That was the big deal. You know, it was strong. It was unchangeable. A piece of the rock, they called it. That's why businesses are happy to report. We're in our 25th year of business. We're in our 50th year of business. They try to sell you the fact that buy from us or do business with us because we'll be here tomorrow. We were here yesterday. We'll be here tomorrow. They try to tell you that they're stable. That's why they tell you that. Hebrews 1, in fact, look at the Bible. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10 and 12 says this. Come on out. And you, Lord, in the beginning have laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They shall perish, but you will remain. They all shall wax old as does a garment. I don't know about you. My wife is always bringing things on a clothes hanger out to me, asking if we can throw this away. Sometimes she throws it away without asking me. Come on, somebody help me out here. But I don't know about you. I've got a pair of shoes that the whole sole of them is off. The only place the sole is attached is somewhere near the back. And when you walk, they flop. Come on, somebody. And they are so comfortable. Come on. She doesn't like to watch me walk out. And, she doesn't like me to be outside because some of you stop by from time to time. And there I am, in all my glory as I dress up like that. But Jesus speaks about, and God speaks about, the physical universe is waxing old. It says, as a clothing, you shall fold them up and they shall be changed. Go back now, scripture, if you would. The universe that we live in is aging. If you know it or not, the universe that we live in is not eternal. It will be changed one day. Peter says, look at 1 Peter. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. It changed. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved to fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Can I tell you that the world we live in is going to be burned up one day? In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews, we just read, that it is waxing old. And one day God will do like my wife does. He'll bring out, he'll fold up those old clothes, and he will get rid of them, and they will be changed. Can I tell you, if you love the world, this world is not stable. This world is not eternal. This world will not last forever. It's going to be folded up one day as we do old clothes and changed out one day. Come on, somebody. It's not stable. It's not going to be here forever. The world will be changed. That's what Hebrews says. Peter says the world that we live in, that we cling to, is one day going to be burned up with fire. The heavens and the earth is subject to change. Peter speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. Look at Revelation chapter 20. But even that heaven and earth, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also shall be worked up. The works that are therein shall be burned up. Can I tell you, the day is coming when the heavens, not only the earth, but the heavens themselves will all be burnt up with heat. Everything we see in this physical universe is not stable. It is not eternal. The Bible says a day is going to happen when the heavens shall pass away with great noise and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Whether that's, you know, a nuclear war, whatever that may be, we live in a physical universe that is not eternal. Nothing that we see, nothing that we touch will last forever. Nothing that we have a hold of, nothing that we own will last forever. We know that, but we got to really know it at times. In fact, the whole shebang is not stable. The whole thing will not last. The Bible says, now turn to the book of Revelation. Listen to what Revelation says. Go to the next scripture. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And he shall go out. Now, there is something called the millennial kingdom coming. And the millennium is 1,000 years long. And somehow we think of that as eternal or stable. Can I tell you, even the millennium kingdom is not going to be eternal. Even the millennial kingdom is not going to last forever. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the sea. And they went up to the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down out of God and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Is that where we're stopping? I don't think we got the right scripture. I liked it, but it was a nice scripture to read. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Notice this. For the first heaven and the first earth were what? Passed away. Can I tell you, everything we've got a hold of right now is going to pass away one day. We ought to hold on to this stuff, knowing that what we have a hold on to is not eternal, is not steadfast. Everything we've got our hands on physically in this world will pass away one day. The heavens and the earth, go back, the heavens and the earth will pass away. A new heaven and a new earth. Can I tell you this, and you may not like it, but can I tell you one other thing? It appears that even the new heavens and the new earth are not eternal. Can I get a better amen? See, we think somewhere we're going to get to a time when we're a part of something that's going to be absolutely eternal forever and ever. And we think heaven's going to be just constant forever. And you know, the Bible says we're going to go and be a part of a millennial kingdom, but the Bible says it will pass away. We'll be part of an earth that it says that earth will pass away. And a new heaven and a new earth will come for the first heaven. And we think, well, that next heaven and next earth will be eternal. But you know, there's hints in Scripture. In the book of Corinthians, Paul seemingly says that even that new heaven and that new earth will not last forever. Can I get a better amen this morning? Well, I didn't get anything. Amen. It's all right. We'll just sit there. So from time to time, the scriptures picture a totally different heaven and earth. And all of them is subject to change, constantly changing. That makes me feel like something's moving under my feet. Lord, I want something that's under. You know, my wife and I, she doesn't like me to say this, but there, I had a friend one time. He used to go out and he used to love to look at the stars at night. And you know why he said that? Because he wanted to see something that was unchanging. Can I tell you that many of the stars that you see today are gone already? You know that, right? You know, if even though light travels at such a fantastic speed that they're so far away, scientists tell us that many of the stars you're looking at have already disappeared. Their light is just still coming toward us.
Can I get a better amen this morning?
Because even the stars are not unchangeable. Even the stars are going to change. In fact, look at Hebrews 7. The law and the priesthood seem to be so unchangeable. One of the problems that Jesus had when he came on the scene was he began to bring a new law. He began to bring a new covenant. But the Jews were so stable in their covenant. They were so stable in the old covenant, the law. They could not hear that something could change. They believed it. It says, for the priesthood being, everybody say changed. There is made of necessity a change also. That's the law that was written in tables of stone. You would think if anything was unchangeable, it would be something that was written with the finger of God on stone itself and brought down from the mountain by Moses, written by the finger of God. You would think that in itself would be unchangeable. And yet the writer of Hebrews tells us, not only was there a change in the priesthood, there was a change in the law. It says, being a necessity, a change also of the law. Look at the next scripture. And if yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there rises another priest. Can I tell you that there was only Aaron's, and God gave Aaron, and Jesus Christ did not come from the Aaronic line descendant. He came out of the tribe, listen, of Judah. He came out of a different tribe than Aaron came out of. There was a change in the priesthood. Can you imagine you sit there every day and you believed in one, and then suddenly Jesus comes on the scene. There's a changing of the priesthood. There's a changing of the two things you thought were unchangeable. Can I tell you, we live in a world today that is absolutely changing. All of that was subject to change. The earth and the heavens, the people are subject. Administrations are, you know, if you're upset about this present administration, just wait a while. We'll get another one soon. Come on, somebody, help me out here. Everything we live in is changeable. One year, you know, my daddy, one year, when he was growing up, he got a letter from the, he lived in Virginia. He got a letter from the Virginia Motor Association. He could not sell one more car. You know, there's a limit on how many cars you can sell. Go ahead, I don't know if you know that or not. But you can't only sell without a license. You can only sell so many cars. And he got a letter one year because he changed cars so often. Some of you, every week, you got a new hairdo on you. Come on, somebody, just come in here. Some of you, you know, you change this. Listen, there is a change. The physical realm is going to change. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Listen, but I'm glad to tell you this morning, listen this. There is one thing and one thing alone, the Bible says, has entered this physical realm that will never change. There is one thing and one thing alone that we can sink our teeth in and know that it will never, not the earth, it will change. Not government, it will change. Not even, all those things are subject to change. But the Bible says there is one thing and one thing alone that will never change. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Come on, somebody. Said, but the Son, he said, your throne, O God, is forever. Everybody say forever. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. Look at verse 9. Go to the next verse. And you, Lord, in the beginning have laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the works of your hands. Next scripture. They shall perish, but you remain. They shall wax old. Listen. They shall perish. They're going to be folded. But you, Lord, thou art the same. They shall wax old. Go back. They shall wax old as does a garment. Verse 12. And as a clothing shall you fold them up. They shall be changed. But you are the same. Your years shall not fail. Can I tell you, more stable than this world we live in is the God we serve. More stable than the world our feet is standing on right now is our Lord that died and was buried and rose again from the dead. The Bible says a day is going to come. And listen, this is the Father speaking to the Son. And the Father says to the Son, one day this world is going to be folded up like you do an old piece of garment, an old pair of pants, an old dress. You're going to fold it up, give it away. You're going to get rid of it. But you are the same. Your years do not fail. Jesus Christ, the same. Everybody say the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, give him a great clap offering, would you? Come on. Do you have 1 Timothy 6? Did we skip that one? You got to read this one. You don't have 1 Timothy 6? I want you to get your Bibles. Everybody get your Bibles, would you? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want you to read this one with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is the strongest word in the Greek language. This is the strongest word in the Greek language. What's this? Which in his times shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Verse 16. Who only has immortality. Literally, the word immortality there, it's a Greek word. It's a strong, one of the strongest Greek words. And it says, who only has immortality? Can I tell you, there's only one being in the entire universe that has immortality, and that's Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, go back to Hebrews, I just skipped you from. Hebrews 7. Now look at Hebrews 7 in verse 15. You got Hebrews 7, 15, 16? Go back to it quickly. All right, if you don't have it, get your Bibles again. Let's go to it ourselves. Hebrews 7, I want you to see this one. Hebrews chapter 7. And look at verse 15. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, and look at verse 15. And this is clear still, if another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such not on the basis of the law of a physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible, and here it says an endless. That's one of the strongest words in the Greek language that literally means never, ever coming to an end. Can I tell you, I've latched my wagon onto somebody that will never, never die and never, listen, never again. The Bible says he alone hath immortality. He alone has an endless life. He alone, but after the power of an endless, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Can I tell you, I serve a Jesus who has the power of an endless life, who alone hath immortality. Am I going to base my life on this world, collecting all the things of this world? Whatever the Lord gives me, I'll have it and I'll enjoy it. But my trust is not in this world. My trust is in the living God. My trust is in a Jesus who has alone hath immortality. Read that next scripture again. Go on the next scripture now where it says that. Where it says he alone. Which in time shall show why he's the blessed only potentate, the King, King, Lord, Lord. Look at verse 16 in this one. Who only has immortality. Can I tell you, there's one being alone in this whole universe that is above time and space. And I can wrap my arms, I can lay my head, I can put my life, I can trust my future with one that will never come to an end. It is, I don't care what new heaven and what new earth has changed, Jesus will always be there and he'll always be the same. Let God change whatever God wants to change. As long as Jesus is there, I'm okay. So let the Lord do it. I have peace in whatever happens in this life. Hebrews 1 says that this is the Father speaking to the Son. We'll read it again. But to the Son, he said, your throne, O God. This is the Father calling the Son God. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness, a scepter of your kingdom. Go to the next scripture. And to you, Lord, in the beginning have laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the works of your hands. I want to read this again. They shall perish, but you shall remain. Let this earth burn up. Who cares? Jesus will still be there. They shall perish, you remain. They shall wax old as does a garment. Verse 12. As a clothing, you'll fold them up and they shall be changed. But you are the same. Your years do not fail. Can I tell you, when John that day, At the Last Supper, laid his head on the bosom of the Lord. He was laying it on something that was eternal. Judas had put his trust in the coins and the currency of this world, but John put his head on the bosom of something that will never change. A million years from the night, he can still lay his head on the bosom of someone that will never change. Let this old earth burn up, but there is someone that I've gotten a hold of that his years do not wane. He does not grow old. He'll not be put away. He'll not be changed. A million years from today, they'll still be Jesus. When the Democrats and the Republicans are gone, they'll still be Jesus. Come on, son. They'll be He's there forever. Yes. Can I tell you what? You ought to get out of being in some sort of religion and some sort of, you ought to draw close to Jesus, get to know Jesus, because he that knows the Son and has the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son does not have life. I'm going to tell you, it's not becoming a goody good two shoes. That's not what salvation is. Becoming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's when you've come face to face with him and you know him. You don't know about him like you know about the president or you know about a friend. It's when you intimately get to know him, he changes your life. He is at this, he'll be there in the end. Jesus has revealed himself in many ways. The dreadful Jehovah became the tender babe in the arms of his mother. Listen, he's the lion, again, he's the lamb, but he's always the same. And I like what Hebrews 13 says. Jesus Christ, everybody say the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I tell you what he was yesterday? He is today, and what he is today, he'll be tomorrow. I don't have to worry about that administration changing. Come on, somebody. What he says is true, and he'll be there when I come to heaven. And I'm not going to find out that suddenly he's changed. There is Jesus and Jesus. Everybody say Jesus Christ the same, would you? He is the same. Paul knew this. This men will always disappoint you. From Adam down to the last man that's ever lived, every man will always disappoint you. Whether he's black or white or Hispanic, it doesn't matter whether it's male or female. Listen, mankind will always fail you somewhere along the road. You've got to keep your eyes on the Son of the living God, because he and he alone will never fail you. Paul knew this. In fact, Luke read next to me. Paul was in prison one time. And the Bible says, he writes Timothy, he says, do your diligence to come shortly to me, Timothy. For Demas has forsaken me. Demas was one of their co-workers. Demas was one of those men that preached the gospel with Paul and Timothy. Demas was one of those men that did miracles through his life. Demas was one of those guys that was on the forefront. And Paul writes, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and is departed to Thessalonica. And if Paul's eyes were on man, he'd get all disgruntled. He'd get all depressed. He'd get all put down. He said, I wonder if this thing's real or not. But listen to what he says. He's departed in Crescens to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Verse 11, look what verse 11 says. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to, that's the Pauline whammy. Come on, somebody. That's what that's called. Of whom you be aware, for he has greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me. All forsook me. I pray God that it may not be late. Listen, man will always fail you. If you don't cast your eyes on that which is unchangeable, and you put them on the changing whims of mankind, you will always be disappointed somewhere. But I can tell you, there is one above time and space that never changes. He is faithful, he is true, and he will be that to you in season and out of season. I pray, God, listen, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. You know what he said? I got someone that's unchanging. When the rest of mankind leaves me flat, he says, I got one that'll never leave me nor forsake me. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I'm going to tell you, there's something about putting your eyes on the Son of God, putting your eyes on the one that will never leave you or forsake you. Paul knew this. He understood this. Notwithstanding the Lord's stewardship, man will always disappoint you. But I have learned in my life, my life is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, His right, His blood, and righteousness. I've learned to trust in the living God. I've learned to put my trust. I've learned to forgive. I've learned to sit there and understand they're just flesh and I'm flesh. We're all flesh, but there's one I can put my trust in that will never, ever fail me. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ, the same. Amen. Yesterday, today, and forever. I put my head down on my pillow at night. And I rest and I listen. Everything I've got in life is trusting in the Lamb of God who will never leave me, who will never forsake me, who'll never lie to me, who'll never change, who'll never be replaced. He's not going to have an election in heaven somewhere, and he will always be there forever and ever. He and He alone is forever. He alone has immortality. Jesus, the rock of ages. Listen, get your eyes off man and cast them on the Son of the living God. Jesus is unchangeable. Listen, John showed him and saw him in the book of Revelation. Look at Revelation 19. It says, I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called what? He that was set on him was called what?
Faithful.
Can I tell you something? We serve a Jesus who is the same faithful yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I saw one, and written on him was these words. He is faithful. I put my head on my pillow knowing I serve a Jesus that is faithful. He's not going to change. He's not going to change from one. He's faithful in righteousness. He judges and doth make war. You know, He's faithful. And there's a song we used to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, brother. He is the same. I like this. Look at Acts chapter 1. Can you imagine? This is right before He left. It says, and when He had spoken these things, this is on the Mount of Olives, He's saying goodbye to them. He's about to leave and go to heaven. And you can imagine how that, you know, that separation anxiety, you know, how children are. And He's about to leave. He's died on the cross. He's raised from the dead. He's been with them for 40 days. But now the time has come when He's about to be taken to heaven. And while He spoke these things, and while they beheld, He was taken up. And a cloud received Him out of their sight. Now, stop right there. Don't go back to 9. Can you imagine this? They're talking to Him. And suddenly one of them realizes, you notice Jesus is getting a little bit taller. He looks like He's getting taller right now. They're looking at Him, you know, they're just looking at His face, and He's getting taller. And they look down, and they've never seen Him do this. He's done lots of things, but He's never flown before. Come on, somebody. He's walked on water. He's raised the dead. He's created bread. He's done lots of things, but He has never flown before. And they're talking to Him. And suddenly He begins to fly. He didn't have a hat on like that nun that used to fly. He didn't have a hat on. He just begins to go straight up into the heavens. And they're sitting there with their jaws. Gull. They cannot believe this. He's taken up into heaven while He's still talking to them. Amen. All right, go to the next one. While they looked steadfastly, they were not moving. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus. This same Jesus. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen Him go. Yeah. Can I tell you, the same one that went up is the same one that's coming down. The same one that was carried up that day on the Mount of Olives, the same Jesus is, why is that? Because He's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they said, one day, listen, he promised a generation would not see death, but they would see the coming of the Lord. Can I tell you, we're not in for a different Jesus. We're in for the same one that left and the same one that's coming back. Because he never, ever changes. See him go, he is coming in the lake. You know what? I love this. Look what 1 Thessalonians says. You know, there's some people that teach all kinds of stuff about who's going to come and get us. If we're that generation that we survived to the coming of the Lord. And they talk about angels. Let me tell you, if some angel comes for me, I'm not going with an angel. You know why? Because the Lord, everybody say it with me. The Lord, what? The Lord, him, I'll debate an angel. I'll say, the Bible told me the Lord himself shall descend with the heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the dead in Christ. Jesus, the Bible says the Lord himself is coming for us. Amen. Not another. The Lord himself is coming for you and I. That's why I don't believe in these false whatevers and whatever this, because the Bible tells me the Lord himself is coming. I want the musicians to come on up. We're not done yet. I want them to get in place. Look at Job chapter 19. Would you look at this? Job chapter 19. And Job, he's in a pile of ashes. And I want you to notice what he wrote here. He says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Go on, next one. Next scripture. You got another scripture? Don't stop now. You don't have any more scriptures? Yeah, there we go. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. What's this? Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. He's going to be the same one I was looking for. He's not going to change. He's going to be the same forever. Everybody give the Lord a good clap offering. Come on, give him a good clap offering. Everybody stand up. You know, I don't know what kind of situation you're in one day, but one day, listen to this. One day the sun is going to set for the last time in this old world we live in. One day the world is going to, that sun is going to set in the west one last time. And when it does, the Lord himself, the same Jesus that left, will come back. He will not change. He will not have changed one iota. He alone hath immortality. Can I tell you, I don't know what you're trusting in your life. If you look every month and see how big your account's growing, whether it's a person you put all your trust in, mortal, whether it's a physical something you've trusted in, a home, a car, a resort, a vacation, I don't know what it is. But can I tell you that no matter what else you put your trust in, it will fail you at some point. One thing and one thing alone will never fail you, and that's the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no man, there's no woman that will not disappoint you at some point. Listen, easy come, easy go. Things in this life, they're transient. They will not last forever. One thing alone in this universe is forever. And that's the Lamb of God, the Son of the living God. He alone hath immortality. Can I tell you, the Bible says that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that does not have the Son does not have it. Why is that? Because he's after his life. He's based on the power of an endless life. And other things in this world can give you life, but not endless life. Other things can fulfill you for a season. But they'll never fulfill you forever. One day it'll all be swept away. And if that's your trust, you'll be swept away with it. And I'm going to tell you, there is really a hell. There really is. There really is a place where the Bible speaks of that it was created for the devil and his angels. But it has enlarged itself because man and women have neglected and purposely not allowed the way that God made for them to be saved to be a part of their life. They just belittle it. They just put it off. A lot of them honor it, okay, but they just keep putting it off. You know, I'll do that next week. I'll do that. You know, I'll do that. At some point, I'm going to get right. Some point in my life, I'm going to get things right between me and God. What happens if you don't know is there are points where you just keep hardening and deadening and hardening and deadening and putting off. And next thing you know, you're going to stand before a living God. And that God's going to ask you, what did you do with my son? One thing and one thing alone in this universe is endless. If you hitch your wagon to that, then you too will be endless. Jesus says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth shall never die. How's that? Because you hitched your wagon onto something that was endless. You hitched your wagon onto something that was immortal. You hitched your wagon. You teamed up with something. It's like the vine that wraps itself around an oak tree. That when the storm comes, it's not the strength of the vine. It's what it's hitched itself to. It's what it's attached itself to was the oak tree. Can I tell you? Believe this or not, young people, one day you'll get old. You will. It'll happen to you. And one day, if the Bible says in Proverbs that the pride of young men is their strength of their legs. That's what it says. It's just their strength. Can I tell you, one day your strength will fail. It's not forever. Young lady, I'm going to tell you, your beauty, you may be beauty, you know, but one day your beauty will fail. All those things are temporary. All those things will be washed away one day. There's only one thing. I'm glad when I was young, I gave my heart to God, and I love Jesus with all my heart to this day. You know what? I'm glad. I don't feel like I wasted 1 year by not doing all that stuff. I love Jesus and will love him to the day I die. David said this, I've been young, now I'm old, but I've never, ever seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging. You know what he said? I serve a faithful God. I serve a God who's eternal. I serve a God who'll never change. You know, if you're older in years today, can I tell you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He loves you when you're young, and he loves you when you're young. He doesn't cast you off and say, you're no use. Yeah, absolutely. Till that Moses was 80 years old when God finally called him, and God started using him for the next 40 years until he's 120 years old. God will use you when you're young. God will use you when you're older. God will do those things. You know why? Because you can hitch yourself to somebody that's immortal, somebody that's eternal. Why not? I mean, why would you hitch yourself to anything that was just temporary? Why would you put your trust in anything that's going to fade away? Why would you put your trust? We live in a world that's going to be folded up and done away with one day. Why not put your hope? Why not put your trust? Why not put your confidence? Why not base your life on someone who will never change? And someone that will never disappoint you, and somebody that will never walk out on you. His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bow your heads one more time. Close your eyes. I'm going to pray with you. Father, right now in this place, I pray for those that have not yet accepted the Son of God into their life and surrendered to him. I pray for those that have been putting off for whatever reason and deciding and thinking and wishy-washy today, Lord. They're going to make a decision. They say, Lord, I'm hitching my wagon to you. How do you do that, Pastor? Here's how you do it. You surrender your life. And you confess all you, whatever is you look toward the Son of God who died in your place for all the sins you did. He died for those sins. That's why he got beaten. That's why he got put on a cross. That's why the Father turned his back, the Bible says, and darkness came, because he that knew no sin became our sin. All those lies and all those stuff I did that was sin, he became that. And the Bible says, and God then put the punishment that I should receive on him. And he took my place. And then if I will cast my eyes upon him, that I look to him and call upon him, that he will give me the power. He'll cleanse me from all that sin, that he became it. And he'll exchange his righteousness with me. And suddenly, I become the righteousness of God in Christ. Where before I had all this sin. But when I come to Jesus, I trade my sin for his righteousness. And I say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I have done wrong. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. I surrender my life now to you. Lord, you're now in control. You're in charge. From the rest of this day forward, you do what you want to do, because I'm hitching my wagon to you. I'm going somewhere where somebody I can trust, and you'll never change, and you're endless, and you'll be here a million years from today. I'm the foolishness of trusting in this world and all this stuff. I'm putting my trust in the living God. And this morning, if that's what you want to do, he says, whoever comes to me, I'll no wise cast out. You're not too bad and you're not too good. You just come to him. And the Bible says, all that come to me, I will no wise cast out. And this morning, if you got any desire to do that, then that's only because he's drawing you. Nobody comes to him unless he draws you. So, Father, right now, if that's you, Father, I ask you, every person that's hungry, every person that's thirsty, every person that wants this, right now, would you do the incredible, miraculous exchange? Lord, would you cleanse them from all their sin? And then would you not just forgive them, would you give them your righteousness? Would you take away every stain, wash them clean, and then fill them afresh and new this morning? And then give them eternal life, endless life, immortality. I ask you to do that, Father, in Jesus' name. This morning. Now, if you just made that transaction, I want you to just say this. Say, dear Jesus. I want everybody to repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for saving me this morning. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for giving me eternal life. I trust in you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody say amen. Can you give the Lord a good clap offering? Would you do that with me? Come on. Close your eyes, brethren. Close your eyes.
Only you satisfy, Jesus. It's no sweeter name. It's no sweeter.
Put your eyes on him.
Come, Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter. Name of Jesus, no sweeter name provide.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes just for a second. Listen, I want you to be ready. Listen, I don't know what kind of situation you're involved in. I don't know if you're like Job and you're sitting in ashes this morning and totally devastated. Maybe friends like he had came and where you trusted in those friends and suddenly they began to condemn you. You know, the reason he could make that through was he believed and trusted in a Redeemer, that he would be there at the end of his days. Even if his flesh was completely destroyed and everything he had was lost, he believed in a God. He said, whom I shall see and not another. He himself. Can I tell you, I look forward to the day because my Bible says Jesus, the Lord himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord himself. Those two angels said, the same Jesus that you saw go away, the same Jesus is coming back. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this morning, Father, with all the changeableness of this world that we live in, from governments, programs, to cars, to fashions, to universes, our eyes are focused on you. And I pray for every person here that's shaking today, that's in some sort of shaking. The Bible says we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything will be shaken one day. But we have received, why is our kingdom unshakable? Because the King is unshakable. That's what the kingdom is. It's the King. It's wherever he has reign. It's wherever the King has authority. That kingdom will never be shaken. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. Why is that? Because he's eternal. He has immortality. And my Bible tells me because I have received that, I may be killed one day. I may die, which I will, unless the Lord comes back. Doesn't matter. Because I have received eternal life. And I will live forever. To be absent from the body is to be instantly present with the Lord. That's who lives forever. I'll be there for, I'll step out of frailty into eternity. And he may change the universe. He may change the heavens and the earth numerous times in our existence in the future. It's okay. I know one being that will be there forever. His name is Jesus, our Lord. Why not draw near to him today? Why not get to know him more? If you are a Christian, why not begin to love him and draw near to him this week? When you read his word, one time there was a bunch of people that was, and I read the word every day, don't belittle that, but he got with a bunch of them when he says, you read the word, you studied, in that you think you have eternal life. But he says, but though the scripture is that which testifies of me, and you won't come to me that you may have life. Can I tell you, the word that I read, it's only got, I want to know him more. I don't want to be some great whiz and Bible drill and that's, no. I read the word so I can get to know him more. I read the word so that I might know the Lamb of God. The Bible says he walked with the two on the road to Emmaus that was totally devastated, thinking that he was not eternal. They thought he died and he was over with. But you know what the Bible says? Beginning with the law and the prophets, he began to teach them a concerning himself and all the Old Testament. He began to tell them that whole word, the Old Testament, the law was about me. It was symbols and pictures and shadows, but it all was about me. And I'm alive forevermore. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name. I said, good amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering this morning. Would you come on? Turn around, hug somebody. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you next Wednesday night.